And you're listening to Building Bridges with Ken Nash and Mimi Rosenberg.
And now teachers taking the lessons of the classrooms to the streets from West Virginia to Arizona and most recently Colorado.
I can be the spirit building, soft as a whisper, but loud as a roar. I can feel something is stirring like I never have before. We've been quiet too long, my friends, but the working folks of this country will rise again. We've been
And that's exactly what we are, they are doing, led really by teachers from across the country. The victorious Wildcat strike in West Virginia ushered in a new wave of teacher and state worker activism and strikes organized by the rank and file with their unions racing to catch up. Teachers without bargaining rights in Oklahoma, Kentucky, and Arizona, where striking is illegal and their unions are weak, summoned their courage and walked off the job.
The most recent addition to this cavalcade of militancy is the Colorado teachers, who with their union, the Colorado Education Association, shut down the statewide school system for 2 days. At the same time, Arizona teachers went on strike after weeks of militant demonstrations. They are fighting years of budget cuts, which translate into low wages and benefits and inadequate school budgets.
And with us in the best tradition of May Day from the picket line, Kat Barrett, an English teacher from the Phoenix Union High School District in Arizona, and Jocelyn Palomino, a high school teacher of Mexican-American literature in Denver, Colorado. And sisters, welcome. And you are leading the way. It's most exciting, but daunting.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, we're really excited. I mean, I cannot tell you.
This is the whole country.
Really, really. And in New York and Jersey and surrounding areas, you are really breathing fire and energy and possibility into our efforts for benefits, for wages, and to service better for those of us in the service area.
That is so exciting to hear, especially from the West Coast. I can tell you, we need your support.
Well, you've got it, and you're going to tell us how we can do that concretely. But why don't we start? Let's see. I'm just going to arbitrarily say, let's go to Arizona now. Tell us what's been happening there, our dear friend.
All right, in Arizona, we are definitely doing a West Coast-style walkout. We have teachers out here with tents. We have Socratic seminars happening where we're teaching teachers the budget inside. We're on watchdog for these legislators. We're making them work. We're making them do their job. We're using social media, and it couldn't look brighter for us.
And Jocelyn, Colorado, tell us what you did last Thursday and Friday and where you are now.
Yes. So we have had huge rallies at our state capitol in Denver. Thursday we had two districts rally. They were Douglas County and Jefferson County. And then Denver Public Schools, along with several other districts, rallied downtown. We all wore red. We all chanted. And we put the pressure on our legislatures to increase school funding. Denver right now is experiencing incredible wealth generated by the cannabis industry, and we're not seeing it in our public schools. I personally see the expansion of charter schools, but I'm not seeing our public schools, our community schools, especially schools located in neighborhoods, in communities of color. We're not seeing enough support for those schools. So we have been really vocal. And we're even, we haven't done the strike yet, but we're moving in that direction.
But you shut down the system for 2 days.
We sure did. Mass numbers of teachers took a personal day, and our superintendent, Tom Boesberg, was forced to call it a labor shortage, and he shut down the district on Friday.
You know, one of the things that, since you brought up the issue of the charter school, Kat, Jocelyn, if you could both address this, the importance, and then we're going to find out what's missing from the budget for the children of those states.
Mm-hmm.
Why continue to support? What's the importance of public school education? And then, of course, we're going to get to the wages, the benefits, the conditions of the workers, and indeed mm-hmm. the resources for the public school system.
Mm-hmm.
Kat, why should we support public school teachers and public schools?
Yes.
Yeah,
the number. Go ahead.
And please talk to each other. That's fine.
Yeah, the public schools in West, over here in Arizona, we're seeing large migration happening. So we have school districts that are going without air conditioners, that have pest control challenges and overcrowded classrooms. We've got 40 in an English classroom. So we have a teacher trying to teach Shakespearean literature and a classroom size of 40 students. We need more reading specialists. Because as our students are being promoted in the public school system, they have a right and they deserve to have that creative freedom. And we're not seeing that happening anymore. Finally, the teachers got upset enough to say, hey, what would happen if we banded together and we started making our voices be heard? And we decided to do it.
Excellent. And from my perspective here in Denver, for me, the number one reason why we should support our public schools is because we accept all. It doesn't matter a child's linguistic skills or first language, second language, or anything that may impede the learning. We accept all children within the community, and we're not seeing this same situation with our charter schools. Our charter schools often discriminate against students who are receiving special education, and they can't adequately serve those students. So the number one reason is because we serve all students.
And Jocelyn, in Colorado, is there inadequacy of funding for the classrooms?
Absolutely. And I'm going to tell you, here at my school, I'm at Abraham Lincoln High School, and we are in the heart of a Chicano immigrant community. I have over 97% of my students. We have approximately 1,000. We started off with 3,000, nearly 3,000 15 years ago. But in relation to the charter school, our district, our school board leaders and our superintendent made the decision to place a charter school in the middle of our comprehensive high school. So we are, three stories. On our second floor, we have sixth and seventh graders from a charter school that have the capacity. They're a 6 through 12 model Compass. They're called Compass Middle School. Anyway, so they're in the middle of our high school, and we've been here the school's been established since 1957, and then all of a sudden we have this charter school, and it feels like a cancer. Our library, it has been compromised. Our space has been compromised. You see more teachers on carts. You see many, all of us have to share a classroom. And why? To accommodate a middle school that's not even serving our students adequately. They're not doing well on standard tests, and I'm just appalled with our situation.
And Kat, talk a little bit about the, I had this vision for a moment of these students studying Shakespeare in mass, you know, just this cacophony of voices and craziness, but also talk about the conditions of the worker and the pay level of the people in the school system as well. And by the way, if you want to ask each other questions and stuff, because it looks like we're building a mighty, mighty powerful movement, which we want to facilitate, of teachers across the country who are leading the way.
Yeah, we finally feel that hashtag Red for Ed, and you'll see a lot on the Twitter and the Facebook, has built this movement for teachers to no longer be ashamed that they're sitting in class sizes with 40 to 41. Our counselors, we take work home with us. Our work does not end when the bell day, the last bell rings. We're up at night making sure we have that counselor-to-student ratio in our junior and senior English classes, have those college opportunities. So we're taking the work home with us. And finally, you know, we just started this movement where we said this is nothing to be ashamed about, but we need to educate the public about. We have air conditioners falling through roofs. We have air conditioners that don't work in Arizona. We're the leading capital in solar energy. Why aren't we investing in something to bring these funds into Arizona to help our schools? We see our budget being diminished. We have old computers. We don't have iPads in our classrooms, yet we're expecting kids to be college and ready bound, and we're not equipping them with 21st century modern technology. The technology in the broadband consistently goes out in our schools. When we're mandated to take computerized tests, this creates a challenge. And yet we're graded on that letter grade, which is based into our evaluation performance for our take-home pay. So finally, the teachers have just said enough. We're going to start going out there and educating the public. And we took through it. We set up this walkout. We've got the pictures to show them. We've got the testimonials. And we want these working conditions because these are the students' learning conditions. And we don't address those those conditions. Our kids are not being equipped to set up for success.
Yes, and I wanted to add that here in Denver, you know, I teach Hispanic American literature, really Mexican American studies, and I don't have enough textbooks for my students. You know, the anthologies are $40 to $50, and I have a class of 32 students, and there are not enough textbooks. I teach another, I have four preps. That's the other outrageous thing. I'm like two teachers. And normally we have one to two preps. In another course that I have, English 2 for sophomores, I don't have enough copies of Beloved. And you can see how ridiculous it is. I have to run down the hallway or send a student down the hallway to pick extra copies up from another teacher who has, you know, doesn't have the planning period when I'm teaching the course and vice versa. So we don't have enough books. I'm having to buy paper, pencil. My students, I'm in a high poverty. I think I'm hovering around 97% free and reduced lunch. And teachers, you know, bless them, they routinely buy supplies for our students. And another issue is transportation for my students. A lot of them cannot afford the busing. I think that the school should provide for that, all of our students. We just have many, 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 many issues, and the same, we're rallying, hashtag Red for Ed. I could go on and on. I'm all for
It's frustrating for the teachers when we have to spend out of pocket to buy the supplies for the classroom, because if we put in a purchase order, a requisition, it may or may not get processed. And dealing with that frustration level, teachers have just said, we're going to start educating the public, and we're going to show them what we're buying on our credit cards to put in our classroom. It's just, the working conditions have got to improve.
Yes, and
when
I wanted to add...
doesn't show up... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I just wanted to add to that that the working conditions, you mentioned the air conditioners. We didn't even have air conditioners until the charter moved in. Once the charter moved in, suddenly our building, we were able to afford air conditioning. And additionally, I have restrooms up here for the ladies, and it's been out of order for 2 weeks. And so children are having to go to the, you know, second floor, first floor, and it's just outrageous. And I believe it's something the plumbing hasn't been kept up, so the building hasn't been maintained adequately. So it's
Yeah.
It's not
I
right.
recently had a Republican senator, Senator Kate Brophy McGee, I invited her to come into the classroom and shadow me for a day so she could experience the working conditions. Mm-hmm. And it was the first time she was able to see, and I think it was a really grounding experience for her to see that the student to computer ratio we lack, the broadband and Wi-Fi going in and out, just walking the hallways, looking at the staff restrooms. And we're encouraging others to get out and really connect with their legislators, their senators, and to not be embarrassed anymore, to bring them in and ask them, how do they like working bell to bell? And what do they see that could be improved? And opening that dialogue up is what we're doing here in Arizona that seems to be working. We know that the students are the center of everything that we do, so we have to continue this fight for our students and our schools.
You know, I really have to compliment both of you because we've been talking here for a while about what's wrong with the system in Colorado and Arizona. And you've talked about the needs of the children for almost the entire time, and that's fantastic. We don't have too much time left, but why don't you spend a minute on yourselves and just what do you need? What about pay? What about pensions? Jocelyn?
So what are my needs in terms – I'm sorry, I didn't catch the part.
Pay
the last part
and pensions or other things that for the teachers.
Yes. So currently in Colorado – our retirement system, PERA, is subject to change because of their lack of funding for that. And the proposal is to change the retirement age. Currently it's 58. When I started 18 years ago, it was 55. And the proposal is to have folks work until they're 65 to collect retirement. The other issue, cost of living, 3% when I started out. It's 2.5 at the moment, and the proposal is to bring it down to 1.25. And the cost of living has become outrageous in Denver. I can no longer, I couldn't afford to buy a house at the school 10 years ago at North High where I worked. The houses were going for $400,000. Now it's about $500,000. So the cost of living has dramatically increased in Denver, yet we're being asked to decrease that. And those are the big issues here for Denver Public Schools or for the PERA system in the state of Colorado.
Kat?
Yeah, in Arizona, before this movement started, our lawmakers would not renew our Proposition 301. And after we announced the walkout, they renewed that Prop 301. And then 1 month ago, the governor said he would only provide $65.4 million for a 2% raise. And now we've moved, hopefully, this amount to $306 million. His offer was going to sweep the funding from universities and public services that would impact our students. And now Red for Ed has forced the governor and the politicians to create more sustainable revenue sources without cutting those from our services. This K-12 budget that we're advocating for will now add an additional $4.6 million in K-12 education for Arizona. So the Red for Ed movement has created the largest increase in school funding since the recession in 2008, but it's still not going to be enough. And this budget is not going to be going far enough to meet our needs. Our fight's not over, and we're going to keep the pressure on until this budget is passed. We're going to do this, and we're going to make history in Arizona, and we're going to make the changes that are needed for our students.
Yes, and I wanted to add one more thing. For Colorado, we have a tax structure where we cannot increase tax revenue to support our community, our public schools. So we have what you call the Tabor, and that needs voter approval before we can receive any funding, and that needs to change. And what I'm asking folks to do in Colorado is to look for a governor, a new governor, Kerry Kennedy, who supports the teachers, who doesn't support the current tax system that is choking our public schools. Enough is enough, and we're not taking it anymore.
Well, you're using my favorite color, red for Ed, and enough is enough, basta ya,
for
sure. In the 30 seconds, both of you, how can we support you? Let's go, Jocelyn Palomino, high school teacher of Mexican-American literature in Denver, Colorado. You first, 30 seconds, what do we do? And then Kat Barrett, English teacher from the Phoenix Union High School District in Arizona. Jesslyn?
Yes, yes. So first of all, please encourage our lawmakers in the state of Colorado to support increasing funding for public schools and support Kerry Kennedy, who is going to support our schools, and she's going to restructure the taxes. So please, I urge folks to support those two issues.
Okay, Kat.
Over in Arizona, we really need you on the hashtag Red4Ed, and that is under Twitter. Also on Twitter, if you can follow me, at ReadersLeadPD. Readers Lead PD, we will get you hooked up with some grassroots organizers that are making this come alive. Again, we're grassroots, we're hitting the pavement, and we're educating them with our legislators, our politicians, and we're making them work for us because those are those elected positions that they're supposed to be doing.
And what a perfect way to end with the vibrancy of Kat Barrett from Arizona, Jocelyn Palomino from Colorado. Our teachers are taking the lead, and you will inspire
Thank
the
you.
Rest of us.
You don't know from day to day when they're going to make the decision and where, what the choice is.
6 days of confusion and uncertainty. Thousands of teachers across Arizona walking out of schools, but now it's back to class. Thanks for choosing us. I'm Katie Rammel.
And I'm Faye Fredericks. Governor Ducey putting pen to paper, signing an education budget deal, and now most teachers will return.
But is this actually a win for educators? ABC 15's Melissa Blasius is live at the Capitol.
Well, overall, yes. In fact, in many decades, nobody can remember seeing anything like this, such a huge push for change with the signs and the rallies here at the state capitol. And in the end, they are walking away with a significant increase in school funding.
I've stayed up for 24 hours.
Arizona's teachers watched the education budget debate as it ran into the wee hours of the morning and the governor signed it into law around 6 a.m.
This is historic for me.
The six-day teacher walkout, there is a feeling the overall Red for Ed movement will improve Arizona's K-12 education system.
It's just opened other people's eyes, let people see what it's really like, and that was necessary.
And to see this, I'm revived. I'm empowered.
It's an emotional moment, even for some longtime lawmakers.
I have two sisters that are teachers. They were here all week, and don't think anyone should feel like they came down here and it wasn't worth it.
While Red for Ed did not get the legislature to replace the whole $1 billion shortfall in school funding since the recession, classroom teachers will see a 10% increase in their paychecks this fall. Other provisions include $100 million for new textbooks and other school needs, plus money to build a handful of new schools, and millions for renovation at others.
I think it is an extraordinarily significant amount of increased funding, which hopefully will make for happier teachers.
It matters that they were here, and I think that none of this would have happened if their movement hadn't started. And
so the teachers do go back to class in many school districts tomorrow, and we'll see what happens from this point forward. We do know that the legislature and the governor are promising even more big bumps in education funding over the next few years, but of course, nothing is absolutely set in stone. Reporting live at the state capitol, Melissa Glazes, ABC 15 Arizona.
Melissa, thanks.
This has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg
and Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.